Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
Happy Halloween.
Ooh, so spooky.
Yeah, so spooky. Ready?
Yep.
I'm excited. Spooky, scary skeletons and shivers down your spine. Shrieking skull will shock your soul and seal your doom tonight. Spooky, scary skeletons. I like that song. Makes me feel Halloween-y.
Spooky, scary skeletons.
Yeah.
Send shocks down your spine.
Yeah.
Yikes.
We're talking about all things spooky and scary today.
I know. Well, you said let's talk about scary. So I said, well, you want to talk scary? I showed up in my My Little Pony outfit.
That was scary when you came in with that, actually. I was a bit freaked out.
Yes. Beware the things we do on Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah.
And actually, there's a whole bunch of things that are scary that are not scary scary, like not frightening scary, just scary as in makes our stomach turn over.
Yes,
and makes us nervous.
Yes.
And so it's kind of a show where
And what is the fear, you know?
Yeah,
we're sort of redefining what fear is.
We kind of are, like, yeah, living it day by day, deciding, ooh, yes, I think I'm afraid of that now.
Yeah.
When that used to not be a thing I was afraid of.
It's not just spiders and snakes.
It's not.
No.
However, I do want to start with a story.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
So
I'm listening.
My children, who are now into their third or fourth or fifth year of hosting a Halloween party.
Fun.
Yeah. Their party this year, they made their invitations, making them the scariest way they knew how.
Yes.
With bad design.
Awesome.
Scary bad design. So number one, they used multiple font styles.
Find me a font. Bring me your worst font.
I think 8 or 9 different fonts. And they used more than 8 different sizes.
Oh.
And they centered it all.
Okay. My palms are sweaty now.
And they put the whole centered thing slightly off center on the invitation.
Rubbing my face.
And they had a clip art image.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
That they boxed in.
Okay. Okay. I'm breathing. It's all an illusion. Oh, my God. They trapped white face. It's a crime against design. Stop.
But they were so proud of this invitation that they used the worst design elements. It's so funny.
This party's going to be so scary. Even that invitation is hard to look at.
Yes. So
it's true, though.
Yeah,
sometimes
I'm so
proud.
Sometimes
we have the best intention and then we just wreck it. Oh, I can't even. I saw something the other day. I don't think it was local, but I remember thinking, wow, spent a lot of money screwing that up.
I know there was a couple of bad designs that I saw that were actually pretty good designs, but there was just a really simple mistake made on them. Like there was one that was a giant E and then a blank space and then another blank space and then ROPE and a bunch of people. And it says, what's missing here? And then at the bottom it says, you are, right? A U and an R.
I see.
But if you'd put the U R into the two spaces, Europe would have had two R's in it.
Your rope. What's missing here? Good design. That's what's missing.
Yeah. So sometimes it's just like grammatical or spelling in otherwise good design, but it just makes people crazy.
It's true.
It's fun.
It's true.
So yeah, I like the bad design. I love looking at those websites of bad logos gone bad, architectural things that have gone bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Great idea. Poorly executed. That's a scary thing. And it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're kind of getting into the season. So if you don't mind, if we could talk about scary design for a few minutes. We're getting into that season where everybody's got Christmas events coming up. And so poster design is one of those things. I think it's really easy to do well.
Yes.
If you follow a few simple rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to help people out there avoid the scary design
problem. And fortunately, there's, you know, apps now that you can buy that. It's doing some lovely design work, but it doesn't mean you need an app to do it. You just need to keep it simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I'm teaching computer applications at the college, and one of the workshops is, or one of the course pieces is designing a newsletter. And they were so ugly, like so ugly in the textbook. Sorry, textbook people. So ugly. I said, I'm sorry. we will not be doing chapter 3. Because if I send you out into the world thinking that this is an acceptable form of presenting information, then I have failed.
Yeah.
So, no, not doing that. Oh, so ugly. It just wrecks the value of the information.
Yes. You know?
Yeah. So, one or two fonts at the very most. And you really have to have a good reason for that second font. No more than three sizes. Mm-hmm. And never bold and italicize and underline all at once. Pick one and live with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like an outfit. When you look in the mirror, the first thing you see, take that thing off. It's superfluous. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I run it by a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And no boxes.
Oh, don't trap white space. It doesn't like to be trapped. No. Let me out.
And allow a white space.
Yes.
Like, it's okay if you've got this little blank area off to one side after some print, after some text. Don't try to fill it with the logo or something, because it's just, I mean, people need to rest.
For sure. And never think, well, it's just a poster. Mm. It's no big deal, right? Because that poster could be selling tens of thousands of goods, dollars worth of goods, or tens of hundreds of dollars of cookies. Like, it's important.
Yeah.
Or millions of dollars of investment or donations. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. Good design matters.
Mm-hmm.
and helps you communicate your message.
Yeah.
You know? It's kind of the equivalent of stuffing marbles in your mouth and then being surprised what people didn't understand what you had to say.
Oh, yeah.
Take out the marbles.
Yeah.
Just enunciate.
That's a good analogy. Yeah. I like it.
It just popped into my head.
Nice.
It's a Halloween miracle.
That's why you should really be a unicorn and every not day. A My Little Pony, because you are magic.
Well, is she I don't know what the deal is with the
rainbow colors.
My Little Pony.
My Little Pony.
She's a design icon. That's for sure. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Did you know that there's bronies?
Yes, absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah. I got this from my son.
Oh.
Right?
Well, it kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Like, in My Little Pony world, there's someone that represents you somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? There's a character that is you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it challenged. See, I have a meeting after this, and I don't think they're expecting me to show up in a My Little Pony outfit. So we'll see what that tells. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So the poster thing, the other thing I just wanted to point out is I saw somebody did a poster and they were trying to fill a bottom bar. And so they took a local business person's logo and stretched it out to fill the bar.
No.
I know. That was scary to me because I feel like that's disrespectful to the sponsor, as well as just makes my eye go.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Well, would you take a picture of a person's face and stretch it so that it could fit the spot? If it doesn't fit the spot, it probably shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, don't make that spot.
No.
Then.
And also, if you are relying on the generous sponsorship of private or public or nonprofit donors, let them see the poster before you send it out into the world.
That's a really good idea.
Otherwise, you could totally abuse the goodwill. Mm-hmm. And I've seen things go sideways just because the logo was A, maybe the wrong one, or B, stretched the wrong way, or C, not appropriately placed.
Yep.
So don't take the chance.
That's right.
Yes.
And sometimes when people just make a poster and pull your logo off your website, it's not the right logo because the things on your website are designed for your website and not for print.
For screen, not for print.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then again, like when people are making posters, they're often making JPEG versions to put on Facebook. So that's something else you have to consider, that it's not just got to be easy to read when you're walking down the street passing the poster. It's got to be easy to read when it shows up on your scrolling, you know, feedbook,
absolutely,
Facebook feed.
Or in your newsletter or e-newsletter or,
So there's lots to think about. And
that's
I just
think it's not, there's no need for it to be a haunted house of design.
Yeah.
Yeah. Less really is more.
And that kind of brings me to the brand, the Salmon Arm branding thing that we just completed and will be launching very, very soon. I think November 30th is the anticipated launch date.
Mm-hmm.
And there is there's a lot of talk online about the cost of the process as opposed to what we came out with in terms of an image.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something else that we have to kind of be really careful about. Like, that process was was really important to our community to learn more about us. The research part of it was enormous. Mm-hmm. I learned stuff about Salmon Arm. I had no idea.
Salmon Arm learned stuff about Salmon Arm. It didn't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like our safety
rating. Which is sort of scary. We should know these things.
We should know these things. And I think the most valuable thing to me was pointed out probably about halfway through the process when the company that was doing all of this research came for one of the community engagement events. And they had us all there, and we're looking at those graphs that, what are those graphs called? They're the shapes. They're some kind of metrics that make a shape.
Point cluster graphs or something?
Maybe, yeah. Oh. And so you could see what your sector looks like.
It's in like terms. A spider graph, and you could see the reach of.
Yeah. And so if the research supports your idea of whatever is happening, there it spikes way out. But if it doesn't, it comes in. And so what you really want is a nice tight circle, but mm-hmm. not a lot of ways you get these little spiky triangle things sticking out, because what we perceive is different than what is real.
Yes.
A lot of people perceive, for instance, that there's not That's a lot of job Halloween opportunities.
That's what Halloween is all about.
Around. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there are, right? There's lots of jobs. Lots of people perceive that crime is going up. But in fact, we have like the highest safety rating mm-hmm. of all of the communities that we were compared against, like 11 other communities. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the point is that when I looked at the cultural sector, I was scared that there was not, like, there was just not information online about the cultural sector. Mm-hmm. In our top 10 things to do in Salmon Arm on TripAdvisor, 8 of them were wineries. And so you could tell it was those companies that were putting themselves out there on TripAdvisor yeah. and Yelp and things yeah. like that, and not necessarily not our theater, not the art gallery, not the museum, right? Like, we need to get a presence on mm-hmm. those things. So mm-hmm. that was a bit scary for me to realize that as people are driving through the middle of Salmon Arm and they're like tippy tippy on their phone looking what's to do in Salmon Arm.
Like go for a walk or go to a winery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great, but that's not all there is.
Exactly.
Yes.
So
maybe the winery value. People will help you.
Maybe. But I guess the point is that the process was so valuable in so many other ways that when we come up, what would come up with in the end, what is the visual thing that we're launching, isn't the end of it. It's just the middle.
Oh, heavens no.
We've got all of this process that we've learned all things about our community. Then all of that stuff becomes a marketing strategy. Yes. So before you even think about the image, which isn't really an image, it's just the word Salmon Arm. It's just got a certain look to it and a certain color.
It's a type treatment.
Yeah. And so from there, we talk about, you know, adapting and how to use it.
And so implementing a strategic marketing plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would challenge anyone who said it was too much money. What is the cost of not proceeding?
Yeah. Well, and it's...
There's a much scarier cost to not doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the point of this thing is in the long, not just the long run, but in the medium term, it will save money because all the partners now have also solved a problem for themselves
yeah.
so that they can campaign under the same messaging, right? So
right.
Yeah. Many hands make light work.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's a question now is how are all the big organizations, businesses,
yeah.
institutions going to adapt this and, yeah, and use it as a plan going forward? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is kind of exciting.
Kind of a big idea.
Kind of a
small
big
city.
Idea.
Ba-doom, boom. We're here all week.
Yep, that's right.
Bwah.
Yeah, well, we're not, it's not just the time of Frankenstein and, you know, skeletons no. and vampires jumping
no, the
out.
The 31st is the end of I think the scariest month of the year.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that.
Right? Well, I mean, it's...
Why is October scary?
It's darker.
Yeah.
Well, at least in this part of the world. I keep forgetting that, you know, when people live on the equator, it's dark every night at 6 o'clock, no matter what, which would really freak me out, I think.
Yeah.
There'd be no late summer nights.
You're no.
like, 6 o'clock, pitch dark.
Yep.
Weird. Anyway, it's rainy.
Yeah.
Again, really, on the other side of the world, they should do Halloween in our spring because their fall is our spring.
But yeah.
Anyway, it's the end of the harvest, right? Are we going to have enough food to get us through the winter?
That is scary.
It's really...
And the garden looks really creepy right now.
Right? And things are dying and So it's a
actually I was just getting out of my car last night in the dark because I was getting home late and my neighbor had grown sunflowers and I just got out of my car and I looked over and it looked like a person was standing in the field because the sunflower had just died and all of its leaves were hanging down and its head was hanging down. It was really creepy.
Yeah. Yikes. That's right. Ooh, wake me up at night. It's scary. And then for some reason, October is really hard on the stock market. I don't know. If you think about all the big crashes, any of the financial meltdowns generally happen in October.
So everybody's like sitting on pins and needles.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's like part of our psyche.
Yeah.
So today's the last day. So let's live it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it over with.
Get it over with.
Well, I'm kind of wondering, like, why? I wonder if the stock market, if that's actually reflective of the thing, like you were just saying, the end of the harvest, are we going to have enough food? Like, if maybe that's all the instability is.
I'm sure there's been many a PhD thesis written on the October threat, but bad crap happens in October, you know?
So maybe Halloween is kind of, in a way, a celebration of the end of October.
I think so.
October.
We made it.
Yeah.
But, woot woot.
But what what is going on with the decorations? Like, we are decorating for Halloween in such a huge way now. Yeah,
it's number two only to Christmas now, right?
Yeah.
I saw the numbers this morning. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I don't know. Maybe we're just kicking, raging against the dark.
Yeah, I suppose.
There's some crazy, wild stuff.
I wish we had a map of all the good houses so that we could just go.
Well, you just have to drive around, don't you?
I know, but that's a lot of carbon output to look for them all. I want to know where they are, so I just go there.
I can tell you there's three major ones in Canoe.
Okay.
Yeah. One of them is super scary, right on the main strip there.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not my house. My house is scary, messy, but not because we're in construction. But yeah, there's a haunted house. There's like this big spooky witch's garden thing going on. And then there's like blow up city with like big blown up thing. Like,
yeah.
Things that have air in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
See, my parents have such a plethora of Halloween decorations that they had to give their blow up a pumpkin and cat to their neighbor to put on their front lawn.
Just because they
had no room.
more real estate, right? Yes. Oh my goodness.
Well, because they have a graveyard filling up their entire front yard with all of those lights and skeletons. Right. And
and they used to do that.
Well, we used to do that way up at the farm, but now they've had to pack all of that stuff onto one little front lawn.
Yeah.
Which still looks pretty awesome.
I'm sure it
does. Last night I was up there and there's like purple lights and there's zombie lights and there's all these things.
We have, I bought some lights at Canadian Tire. It was on clearance, I think probably from last Christmas, but there's a Bluetooth speaker in it. Oh. And so I downloaded some Halloween tunes on the iTunes account and the lights are, well...
They go flash to the music?
They flash to the music.
Nice.
I know, right?
That's scary.
Yeah. And it's such
in a good way.
Difference. Because, I mean, I'm considering what we did when we were little, which was make our own costumes out of duct tape and cardboard boxes, you know, to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe we're seeing a bit of a renaissance in that because of the attention being given in the stores and stuff. People are paying more attention to costumes now. Maybe they're buying less costumes and trying to be more innovative and making their own.
Yeah, I hope it swings back because I was out last night and Halloween costumes are like, they're made like crap and cost a fortune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and one of my kids made her Halloween costume. She made a Star Trek uniform.
Awesome.
Yeah. And she just was like sewing away for the last week on all these little parts and pieces.
Yeah.
But yeah, because she looked online.
Well, my son made a ghost out of a tablecloth.
Right? Perfect.
Yeah, $4. Good to go. Pair of scissors. The biggest challenge was, where have we put the scissors?
Oh.
Because for some reason, they always go missing.
Yeah. You need 9 pairs of scissors.
I have 9 pairs of scissors. I just don't know where they are. No.
But you're renovating. That's different.
Oh, it's insane. Yeah.
Everything is everywhere. It's so hard to keep track of stuff when you're renovating. It used to be right there.
Yes.
I know where it was a month ago.
Yes. Well, in my house, you want to be scared. Lose my mother's scissors. That was bad.
Ooh.
And she can't say scissors. She says scissors. Where are my scissors? Because she's French Canadian. So you knew you were in trouble when. My good scissors.
Well, I can't wait for everybody to see our costumes at the gallery today.
I'm excited, yeah.
The treat trail.
And it's not a scary thing. It's a fun thing when everyone downtown comes together.
And I feel like that's...
I mean, it's not good for business, but it's great for community. No, it's terrible for me.
It's awful. I know why a lot of businesses just close, because it's awful. Nobody wants to come down there. Half the streets are closed off. It's packed with children. And a lot of people just say, oh, it's an exercise in greed. But, you know... I think there's some of that, but it's also just so fun to see the costumes that it's worthwhile.
Yeah. And their little faces. They're so happy.
Yeah. Oh, and people are so innovative with their costumes. Yeah. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love the baby costumes. Oh, like those babies aren't eating the candy.
And there's a couple moms, and I'm sure they're moms, sorry dads, who just go over the...
Yeah.
Like one little boy was a garden gnome 1 year. Do you remember that? And his mom made him it was like right out of a children's book, a fairy tale. And I think the next year he was in a hot air balloon.
Oh, cool.
Like they just get more and more elaborate and
well, last year I saw a baby in a little stroller, but the mom or the parents had made the stroller look a bit like a Cabbage Patch doll box. Right?
Oh,
so that
cool.
You're looking into the box at a Cabbage Patch doll.
Cabbage Patch doll.
was it
last year with the mousetrap too?
Oh, I didn't see a mousetrap. Aw, that would be great.
Yeah, no, there's some unbelievable creativity.
I saw one online that looked really, it actually kind of scared me because the mom had made a little grate, like a street curb and then a grate and then with a hole where you could see the baby. And then she put a little tiny red wig on the baby so it looked like Pennywise the clown. So it looked like you were looking into the gutter.
Amazing this creativity, horrible clown. Right? Yeah, And it really is about risk taking and pushing yourself, you know, I'm not going to lie, this outfit took some guts.
Yeah. Yeah. But you are gutsy. Like I think
for today,
but you have to. Yeah. Right. And I think there's another thing that is happening out there. Like we're
just pushing against the dark, I think.
Yeah. And we've got to be just a little bit braver. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think the fear is that you dress up and you show up and nobody else is dressed up. That is the scariest thing for Halloween for a lot of adults. But you kind of have to think, you know what? I'm bringing joy to this
party.
Yeah.
No one ever says, remember that time she didn't dress up? Nobody ever says
no
that.
No one said that. Yeah. Ever.
Ever. No. So. Do you know what's scary too?
What?
One more scary thing. So I have always, always wanted to go out as the cast of Gilligan's Island with a group of friends.
Oh.
So I finally convinced my friends to do it. And we all went to the curling club, Gilligan, Skipper, Ginger, Marianne, Mr. and Mrs. Howell, including the minnow, the SS minnow. We had someone dressed up as the boat.
Yeah.
We looked fabulous.
Yeah.
Nobody there in the age group that was there remembered what Gilligan's Island was.
Oh my God. So you had to explain?
Yes. I'm like, this is a show from the 60s. Where they, we've heard of it.
Oh, but they didn't know the characters.
Epic effort.
Oh.
Mr. and Mrs. Howell.
Oh my gosh.
Ginger.
Were you Marianne?
Yes, of course.
Of course you were.
Yeah, I had the easiest costume. Well, except maybe the professor that was like white shirt, you know, pair of slacks. But
Yeah. But you have to be the right body type.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was great.
That is so cool. Yeah. Well, if I was there, I would have been over the moon happy.
Right costume, wrong demographic, which is great. It means that, you know, Salmon Arm is getting younger.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That's right. Okay, I'm just showing you my...
Oh, my God. That is scary. Costumes, yeah.
This is a Pennywise baby.
So clever, though.
It really is kind of freaky to... take the worst scary images off of horror movies and then make your baby
maybe
be that.
Make your baby be that thing.
But that's gnarly. How people are embracing it.
Yeah, it is.
Embracing fear.
Yes.
And maybe that's what helps us get over fear.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we got lots of fear we got to overcome. So.
Yeah. And what is it about people wanting to immerse themselves in these really horrifically scary situations?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like
the escape rooms, you mean?
I guess the escape rooms, that for some people that is the ultimate fear, but just the haunted house thing where it's jump scare after jump scare and horrible, icky things. At Caravan Theater, they had the Wakatera last weekend. Record numbers, 900 people showed up to
get
do the
walk.
Yes. And they're scary. I mean, Walk of Terror is not like...
No, no, it's not
you
a
don't
gentle...
just walk by no. and look at somebody in a costume. Uh-uh. This is like freaky stuff, man. And
interpretive
people are,
theater, scary theater.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're walking through a dark forest
no,
to
thank
do
you.
It.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
So like what?
I guess there's not that much fear I want to face.
But 900
I
people decided
go to
they wanted to be. Oh yeah, me yeah. neither. No, that scares me.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I actually we brought our kids there, and even in the little kid thing when so this is like years ago, our kids would only go so far because they could see that there were people hiding at, yeah. like in the trees up ahead of them. They're like, yep, yeah, nope, I'm out. Let's go back.
Yeah,
and then we couldn't go back because there was a freaking witch at the
no,
really scary looking witch at the entrance. So it's like. We're trapped. We're here
trapped.
Forever. Let's
forever.
Pitch a tent.
But you, so Spooktacular is scarier than Caravan? No, Caravan's
no, no.
Scary.
I just mean when the kids were little.
Oh, when they were little.
It was.
No, no, my kids were little, but
scares.
I got scared. I couldn't. I was like, can we go now? Can we go now? I'm afraid of the dark. But
well, the only reason I kind of enjoyed Walk of Terror at Caravan is because I was in it.
Yes.
So I could see some of the setup of what was happening.
Yes.
And then we went to our station, did our thing. We didn't have to do the walk through.
And maybe it's just kind of. Makes us less numb to be
yeah.
a good scare. I don't know.
Well, maybe
I'd much rather have a good laugh, but
yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe there's other, like maybe there's parts of our brain that needs to be scared mm-hmm. in order for the opposite to happen, mm-hmm. in order for true joy to be felt.
Could
I don't
be.
Know.
I know they were talking about that well this morning on CBC that sometimes a good scare is exactly what it can reset your brain.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Almost like a defibrillate your thinking, like boom, okay, we gotta start this rhythm over again.
Yeah,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah,
maybe really horrible nightmares do the same thing.
Could be,
you know, every once in a while.
Yes,
for
no reason
whatsoever, it just is like this horrible thing happens, night terror,
mm-hmm.
and then you wake up in the morning and go, wow, am I ever glad to be alive.
Yes. Yes,
because that's not fun.
No, that was not fun.
Yeah, so maybe we do need it. Maybe we do need to sort of recognize
reset. I don't know.
Maybe mundane routine and stuff kind of
and we
will
are kind
have
of numb,
damage
just kind
in our,
of, you know, traipse through life sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One foot in front of the other.
Yeah. You just need a good little shake up.
And so maybe just the good belly laugh isn't enough to
maybe
shake
not.
Us up.
Maybe not. I suppose it depends on personality variables, but.
Maybe we need to be chased by a werewolf down
could
the street.
Could
be. Get that
okay,
adrenaline
you
going.
You go first.
You go first.
You get chased down the street by a werewolf and you let me know how okay. it worked out for you.
Well, we'll see who can run faster. Let's okay. do it at the same okay. time. As long as I can be faster than you, I'm good. That's the thing about running away from a bear.
Yeah.
You don't have to be fast. You just have to be
faster
than the person
than the
you're
other
with.
Guy. Yeah.
Well, okay. We're okay. just going to leave that moment because
yeah.
it actually, when you think about it, like that's starting to make sense, but I don't know enough about psychology to really understand what's happening in your brain. But now I'm starting to think, okay, maybe a person should show up at Walk of Terror once in a while and do that to yourself.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Well, rewire your brain.
Let's rewire.
Yeah.
All
Can
right.
You see us dancing?
Yeah, we're dancing. Doing some hard dancing on Halloween here at CKVS. When you've got the privacy of a studio.
Voice of the scary Shoeswap.
You can be yeah. in costume in your My Little Pony costume.
Yes.
And you can be dancing
and nobody
hard.
Has to see it.
And headbanging.
You should just take my word for it. Yeah. So now we're going to talk about something kind of scary.
This is actually the most scary thing because this has been making the most people scared over the last few years
yes.
than anything I know about.
Yeah. And it's politics.
Yep.
And we're afraid to talk about it.
We have become very fearful of talking about politics.
Yeah. I don't know how many conversations where I have to say, okay, you know what? We can't talk about that right now.
Yeah. And
we probably should talk about this another time.
Yeah.
And that's
I used
scary.
To be, I used to be that person
yeah.
saying, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And even I'm like, you know what? I can't
I talk
about
talk
this.
About it.
I can't,
it's
I can't
too
even
scary.
Say, yeah.
Yeah. But we're sort of de-skilling ourselves.
We are.
De-skill?
And I remember reading somebody's post that said, we've forgotten how to talk about politics because we made it taboo to talk about it at the table.
Yes.
Okay, no politics, no religion, no sex. Mm-hmm. That's, we don't, three things
or
we don't
money.
Talk about in good company.
Yeah.
And so now we don't even know how to talk about
so
those kinds of things.
We talk about the weather. That's probably why we talk about the weather or hockey
yeah.
so much.
So it's
about
time.
Disconnects. No, we do. Well, so there's a lot of things happening in politics right now.
There is.
It's the end of the So the midterm elections happen next week. Mm-hmm. So that is the end of some of these senators and members of House of Representatives 4-year term, right? So they all get 4 years every 2 years.
Can you tell me, can you tell me how that works? How much of, like, so I'm just guessing this is providing overlap so that there's continuity within the government. So how many seats are done in this offset fashion?
You know, I'm not sure. I know there's 100, there's 2 senators per state. Mm-hmm. So that's, oh my God, 50 states. 50, why do I always do this? I want to say 52, but I don't think there is.
I can't say for sure. I think there's 50, but we'll just go.
Let's just go with 100. I think it's like a third. Yeah. And same with the House of Representatives. But it's so Congress is the House and the Senate.
Okay.
And so I think it's a third on each side. And so it's unlikely that the House will or the Senate's going to switch over. But there's a likelihood that the House will switch over from Republican to Democrat, which means that if the Congress isn't on, that there are 2 separate parties in Congress, it makes it much more difficult for the president to get any legislation through.
Right.
Not that there's been a huge amount of legislation with both houses, both the House and the Senate being Republican, because this president prefers executive orders, right? But, mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'd be very interesting.
No, it's scary.
It could be. It's either going to be the same or it's going to be vastly different.
Yeah, except that it's still divisive. Mm-hmm. It's still horrible. Mm-hmm. There's still a whole lot of artificial information.
Well, for sure. And this whole Kavanaugh/thing.
Yeah.
Pardon me. It's meant to bolster the Republican.
I don't understand how it bolsters the Republican.
Well, like,
I
know they're saying it, you know, they're calling the caravan a mob that's coming to take over the, I mean, it's the equivalent of the political zombie walk, right? And yet when these people are interviewed, they just say we had to leave. There's nothing to go back to.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I missed a step here. What is the
caravan?
Yeah.
Oh, so there's about, I think it's as many as 6,000 people walking from Guatemala to the United States. Yeah.
Okay.
Honduras and Guatemala.
Yeah.
They're fleeing.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And so what's.
And they're headed to the Mexican border.
Yeah.
And Trump has said, I'm going to put troops at the border and the mob won't come in.
Oh.
And they're trying to suggest that the Democrats have paid these people.
See this.
Scaring me to cough. I have to go find water. So start talking about something.
But I can't. Okay. I'm going to have to. I don't know anything else about politics. And I haven't been keeping up. Louise, you can't go. Okay. But the problem is that the scary part of all of this is that I don't know what to believe anymore. I'm seeing things on Twitter and you are retweeting things. And so I'm kind of learning stuff from that. But where does a person get actual information anymore? Like, where can you rely on the information? Because we went through that whole story with the, all of the families being detained separately in these giant warehouses and kids being caged mm-hmm. up like animals. And there was, you know, and that's horrifying to me. That was scary. But then I learned that there was
more than one press.
Yeah. But then I didn't learn this. I was exposed to information that showed that was all set up. And the people who shared that information with me were convinced that all these photo shoots were set up by media. Huh. And they showed photos of the photo setups. Do you know what I mean? Like, it seemed like, what are we?
Well, like, I guess you have to think what value added is there here, right? Like, so we live in the age of conspiracy. If somebody doesn't like something, to my mind, rather than just come to terms with, well, I don't like this, why don't I like this? What is it about me that doesn't like this?
Yeah.
It's a lot easier in the age of the internet to go straight to conspiracy, mm-hmm. right? No, Elvis didn't die. Diana wasn't killed in a car accident. They all live on an island with JFK. You know, we tend to not face up to the reality, mm-hmm. right? Was it a setup? I don't think so. I genuinely think that people were separated from their children.
Yeah.
And I also know that grand headlines sell papers and
yeah.
get eyeballs. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we all have to be our own truth. We have to be our own editor, right? And you can't just read the same, like, you can't just watch CNN all day.
Yeah.
You can't, oh, God forbid you would watch Fox all day or CBS or NBC or CBC or CTV or Global. You have to make sure you're getting a variety of sources so that you can make your own mind up.
And see, and that's what I think is actually getting scarier
yes.
is that people are not taking the time to learn. They're not
you have to
diversifying
do the work.
Yeah. Their sources.
Yeah.
They're not fact checking. Mm-hmm. And then the other scary thing is that.
And like, what does the New York Times have to gain to hoodwink people? There's no value there, right? Like, look at where the value is.
So who's selling the headlines?
Yeah.
Who gets more revenues right. because of a
yeah.
scary headline?
Right. It's kind of the difference between the, what's that terrible newspaper in the States? The tabloid National Enquirer mm-hmm. was never in the news business.
Yeah.
They're in the tabloid business. They're in the headline business. They want to sell print copies of crap. They don't care.
Yeah.
Right?
But in a way...
Because that's what their that's where the value is for them.
So it's entertainment.
Yeah, the New York Times has never made a dollar. Right? These are just wealthy philanthropists who are interested in presenting a certain point of view. That's publishing.
Yeah.
And it's
because
scary.
The entertainment industry has
yes.
become the media.
Yeah, yeah.
Then this is, and this is, okay, this is
so
what I was going to say. Is that,
right?
yeah, yeah, is the scariest thing to me is deep fakes.
Okay.
That is becoming really frightening because that will convince the average person mm-hmm. that that thing is real. Mm-hmm. And that is the ability to manipulate video and audio to make a person seem like they're saying
yes,
something they're not.
But they're not actually saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. And that technology has come that far.
Yeah. yeah. And that there's people sitting there in factories making that happen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's scary.
It is scary.
Like that is scarier than any yeah. vampire movie.
Much scarier.
Any zombie
Absolutely.
Apocalypse.
Yeah.
It is. Like I'm worried that we're going to be a nation pretty soon. Like we're not the Americans. But we're going to be a nation where we will be convinced by that level of technology and we will make decisions based on mm-hmm. that fake information.
Well, no, and so more and more we have to be our own editors.
But how, right? Like I'm kind of concerned, like nobody trusts any media outlet anymore. How do we know?
Why is that?
I don't know.
Because politicians make it sound like, or... big powerful parties make it sound like it's the media's fault. It couldn't possibly be the media's fault all the time. Yes, there are stories that are going to be exaggerated or exploited. But if you look at most of the news, I mean, most of it is infotainment. It's not news.
Yeah.
It's like, what did Beyonce wear and who's in the latest blockbuster movie, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we have to be asking for more serious look into things that are important.
But maybe that's why we're not asking is because
we're
scared.
Yeah.
We're scared to yeah. hear it. We're scared of the truth.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I personally get annoyed when I hear someone talk about whose celebrity birthday it is. Like, why?
Because we worship celebrities.
Why are you spending your time and my time and our money on whose birthday it is?
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. That's no value, right?
Yep.
We're being cheap. We want it cheap and easy. No such thing.
No.
Yeah, I hate to scare you, but there's no such thing.
I just wonder how we're ever going to get out of this hole that we've dug ourselves, right? Like, how do we get out of this polarization trap? It's happening here, whether we want to believe it or not.
Well, resist the temptation to get in the mud, for one. If like, you see hate, call it out. I get someone banned on Twitter almost every day.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, okay, nope, not cool, not cool, not cool, not cool. Then a few hours later, you're right. I violated abusive you know, in terms of service abusive behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
We do. We have to do the work.
Yeah, but
and
I guess...
doesn't make me a... Listen, I read a lot. I've heard a lot of things. It doesn't make me a ninny. Well, you said a bad word. No, no, no. That's not it.
No.
Yeah.
Hate speech is different than just saying a bad word online. Or are you having an opinion?
Yes.
Like, I think we can still talk about opinions. And that is another scary thing. Is that
You're not allowed to share your opinions.
Yeah, we're scared to share our opinions. And I think that, you know, the only way that we're going to actually learn from each other and from real information is when we share our opinions, because then the other person is aware, oh, you're misinformed.
Yeah. And that's... And I mean, I think that it would be less scary if we just retreated, right? Into our own little bubble.
Yeah.
But that's not going to, we can't retreat.
But it's so hard. Like I just spent some time with my very, very close long-term friend who I love dearly. And once a year we get together and she is at the opposite end of the political spectrum from me. And it is scary when we start getting into these conversations because we know we disagree.
Yes.
We totally know. Mm-hmm. And yet we kind of get to a certain point and it's like, no, just can't go there because I might hate you in 5 minutes.
Yes.
And that is really scary that you could lose friendships. And I understand that there's whole families being ripped apart in the States over this whole thing.
And a lot of it is not the idea so much as the tactic behind the idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am not opposed to conservative values. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I am opposed to current conservative tactics.
Yeah.
Viciously opposed.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me mad, makes me angry. Mm-hmm. It scares me, right? And so you kind of have to separate out those two things.
Yeah.
Like, I can appreciate what the idea that's being defended here, but I don't appreciate this tactic.
Yeah.
How you're doing. I don't appreciate ridicule. I don't appreciate cynicism, right? I don't appreciate playing a shell game and switching out one argument for another just because it's convenient. No.
Yeah.
And I've been very clear about that. But I'm also quite happy to accept criticism of things that I am supportive of. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more, right?
Yeah.
We have to listen to each other, learn from each other, but still not retreat.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. Like, people are retreating.
Mm-hmm. Because we're scared.
Yeah. I'd rather go, you know, to the dollar store and buy takeaway and watch my shows.
Yeah.
Than engage in this. Right? And
yeah.
We can't do that.
Yeah. By just Netflix. And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, this one is related to last week and related to Halloween and related to things that are scary, like destroying original
multi-million-dollar artwork being destroyed in a second.
Like, you've just spent $1.4 million. I've just got this thing. Can you imagine watching that happen? Anyway, last week we talked about the dramatic moment of the Banksy painting, the girl with the balloon. Love is in the bin. Dropping into a shredding machine right after the gavel hit the wood at Sotheby's after it sold for $1.4 million. So that's fun.
Yes.
And that was dramatic.
Yes.
But to make it fun Halloween related, we saw a costume idea online where the Love is in the Bin print, the girl with the heart balloon, was printed on a white t-shirt and the t-shirt was shredded from
halfway
the bottom half, halfway
awesome?
Up. It was so
awesome.
I love it. If I could have got my hands on it super fast, I would have been wearing that today.
Well, you could have made it.
I know, but I would still have to have printed the image.
No,
I
you could use a Sharpie.
I could have just done a Sharpie. You're right. I could still do it.
You could still do it.
That
you
is
still
a
have
super
time.
Fast
Isn't
Halloween
that awesome?
Costume.
Yeah. Yeah. I know everything's going to be shredded now.
Oh, yeah. That's,
it's like a meme.
Yeah.
Everything you don't like or, you know,
yeah,
you can shred on a meme.
Mm-hmm.
Or everything you want to go back and change, I guess, not don't like.
Yeah.
Like, there's all this Brexit shredding.
This is what we're
going on.
Yeah. And this is kind of what we're talking about, right? We don't like it. We shred it.
We shred it.
we don't want to deal
That's
with
right.
it. We shred
Does
it.
Does it shred?
Yeah. Does it blend? That was a good one. Okay.
Was
so
that,
we're going to.
Who was that?
Who was the. Does it blend? I don't know. Some dude. Some YouTube guy.
Dave Letterman.
Oh, was it him?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's also a YouTube show and they have a segment called Does It Blank? Like, does it deep fry? Does it grill cheese? Does it pancake?
See how desperate we are for entertainment?
I know. But we like to laugh. That's okay. Laughing is good.
Yeah.
We could have a segment, Does It Shred?
Does It Shred?
Yeah.
Well, now there will be.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Here's the final thing that we're most scared of that is providing...
It's the scariest of all.
It is scarier
than politics, scarier than the stock market. It's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's climate change.
Absolutely.
That is really scary.
It is.
We are genuinely facing the end of the world. Mm-hmm. It is so hard to even wrap your head around mm-hmm. that is sometime in our lifetime, very likely, but more likely our children's lifetime, the global temperature will be up by 4 degrees.
Yeah, and it's unsustainable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how do you raise children these days to be hopeful, to plan for the future, to think about families, to think about, mm-hmm. you know, gardening and to think about all the wonderful things that we enjoyed growing up and planning and sort of mapping out your life in a way when all that they know
hear about.
Yeah. Is that this is it? Like we're hooped.
Yeah.
There's no hope.
Yeah.
That is scary.
It is scary.
It's probably the scariest of all to have no hope.
Yeah. And how do we convey that hope? I mean, one of them is through action. I mean, maybe it feels futile, but, you know, they know more than they let on.
They're smart kids.
Yeah. And I have more hope in them than I have in us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are more millennials now than there are baby boomers. So...
Really?
Yes.
We hit that threshold, hey?
Yeah.
Huh. How did that happen? Because it wasn't that long ago that was the big bump in the population that we're just retiring.
This one coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So November is coming.
Yeah. So what I think is going to happen...
I mean, they're going to have to take charge.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. Is that we grew up with consumerism. We grew up with this idea that... If you were doing well, if you were succeeding, you got a house, you got a nice car, you bought nice clothes, you bought kitchen appliances, you renovated your kitchen, you renovated, you know, you bought new living room furniture, that was the idea, that was success. And so maybe it is our generation that has to kick off so that the next generation who grew up with this idea of like, no, it can't be like that.
Sea levels are rising. Temperature's rising. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're killing animals off faster than we, you know, literally.
Yeah, 60% of wildlife is gone mm-hmm. since the 70s.
Yeah.
It's just gone.
I really think the best thing we can do is empower them.
Well, yeah, except that we're also, like, we can't wait any longer.
No,
right?
But
like,
I mean, teach them how to vote.
Yeah.
Right? Teach them how to go to meetings. It's ridiculous. Teach them about the UN Sustainable Development Goals. Engage them. Ask them questions. Give them some control.
But then they're still part of a system that we developed, that the baby boomers and the Gen mm-hmm. Xers developed, that are still consuming. There's still the big box stores. Yeah. They're still buy the new thing, the new electronics. The new thing is coming out. Your old thing's worthless because mm-hmm. the new thing is here.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still trapped in that.
But their demographic will quickly enough, maybe not quickly enough, but quickly change those dynamics too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the problem that I foresee
is
stopping doing things.
Okay.
Right. Because I think that change is the most difficult thing for mm-hmm. humans, right? We've talked about this before where change is pretty much impossible. If we are faced with a decision that will save your life, you will die within the next year unless you make this change.
Yes.
You are only 1% likely to be able to make and sustain that change, mm-hmm. even though you know it could result in your death.
Yes. Yeah. Cause we don't have the ability to see the future.
Right.
Right.
And we care less about our future self than we do about a stranger across the street. So my thought about that is that this business of having to stop using fossil fuels, mm-hmm. to stop buying plastic things, to mm-hmm. stop, you know, like all of the things, I guess the fossil fuel thing is the biggest, right?
Yes.
To stop driving our gas cars, to stop using gas lawnmowers and leaf blowers and like, it's just, I think that is going to be the most challenging part of this is that we're just not capable of that quick of a change and a permanent change.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leaves me to regulation, right? Then the government has to say, all the governments of the world has to say, okay, now it's illegal to do this thing, or now we're going to tax this thing. And people go nuts. They go nuts.
Well,
because they don't want to be told what to do.
Yeah. Some people go nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of people go nuts.
Yes.
I mean, some of us are like, yeah, it's about time. Like, yes, we need this.
I think more of us are, it's about time we need this.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's squeaky wheel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That whole, like.
And again, narrative and tactics around. I don't think there's any question that people realize we're in trouble and we need to fix this.
You don't think what?
I don't think there's any question that people realize that.
Oh,
I think the only question is in terms of tactically how groups who are in charge are going to take advantage of a situation over other groups that want to be in charge. So this is really about power play. This is not about at the base level of people understanding.
So you don't think there's still deniers?
Yeah, there are still deniers, but I don't think
deniers in majority. Power.
No, there. And if you look at any sort of message adoption rate, you know, 20% of every message will, like, 20% of every group will never get or accept a message, right? The laggards. You don't really need to spend any time on them. You need to be spending time on the early adopters. You know, you need to spend your time on those who are out at the front of the curve and forget about the ones at the end of the curve, because they're done for anyway. I know it sounds really disturbing, but it's true.
No, well, we can't make our, no. We can't make policy.
No, I think there's absolutely no value in trying to bring a laggard denier on board.
Yeah.
Because the amount of energy you have to expend and the high risk of them never turning over, you could be doing a lot more with people who are in the front of the curve.
Yeah.
Yeah. People who don't need to be convinced. And then there are people who do need to be convinced, and there are people who need to be convinced to act more quickly than they would have. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There, you can graph it, actually. Maybe next time I'll bring in the curve I'm talking about. And whether it's adopting a new technology or any kind of new messaging, it's pretty much across the board. This is how the human spectrum works. There are these, about 5% of the people are way at the front, and then there's about a 20-25% bit, and then there's the rest, and then there's the 5-10% at the end who aren't worth the time of day.
Yeah.
Sorry if you're in that group, but you're feel very comfortable doing what you do, but no one's going to come to change your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess I still feel like in a democratic system, mm-hmm, such as we have, because 40% of the people can decide on the ruling government,
yeah,
we kind of have every percentage counts, mm-hmm, right? I feel like every person who is capable of voting,
yeah,
needs to know, mm-hmm, what we're like, what the problem is and what we have to do to solve it.
Right.
And that's my problem, yeah, right? Is that I can't see that we are doing that. I don't think we're educating on a level that helps,
because there's a retreat,
the majority,
right,
of people.
Yeah. So
yeah,
we got to fight against the retreat, like, 42% turnout in the municipal election. It means 58% didn't turn out.
Yeah.
So if you have 10 friends, almost six of them didn't go,
I know,
to vote, which must blow your mind, because I'm sure you can't think of a person who didn't vote.
I know. I can't
think of a person in my circle who didn't, yeah, vote. So where are the, what, yeah, can we do?
Yeah.
And is that on them or is it on me? I feel like it's on me.
Well, does that mean we have to basically go out into areas, neighborhoods,
do
and
more
workplaces and stuff that we don't have connections,
mm-hmm,
and build connections, mm-hmm, so that, yeah, I don't know.
And so that's,
but the
all
education,
you can do.
I still feel it comes down to education, yeah, though. Like, we have to start when they're little, and we have to go through the entire education system with their understanding that it's your responsibility to learn everything, to,
yes,
learn the facts about every issue before, yeah, somebody makes your, yep, decision for you. Yeah.
And they did do a mock vote at the school.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. And the kids had to go out and figure out, who are all these candidates and what, mm-hmm, is it that they stand for? And they built, they're building voters.
Yeah, that's right.
We have to build more voters.
We have to do that.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Do not despair.
I'm despairing.
Don't be afraid. No.
I am afraid.
No, that's what Halloween is about. Halloween is our day to say to the world, guess what? I'm not afraid of you.
Okay, we'll even try if to have I some have, hope. I know I can't
how could you be afraid of
I
me?
Cannot wearing, be afraid of yeah, you right now right? in your My Little Pony right. outfit. Let's have a moment to thank our sponsors.
Yes.
Thank you so much to Brad DeMille at DeMille's Farm Market.
Who fears nothing.
Fears nothing. Has a pumpkin cannon to yes. back him up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing can happen out there. You could get hit with a pumpkin
That's
cannon.
That's right.
Anyway, another awesome example of a community connector and a place where, you know, kind of helps define San
Yeah, Arm. And a food provider in that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. Thank you yeah. so much to DeMille's. All right. So we'll keep trying to yes. not be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
We're just going to have hope like yes. Louise does.
Yeah.
And look at our graphs.
Yes. Don't worry about the laggers.
Graphs are not scary.
No.
In fact, I like graphs.
Yeah.
I like pie charts.
Yes.
Pie charts make me happy. I'll just think of pie charts when I think of climate change.
Pie charts
change.
Made of actual to... pie.
Yes.
Right? You that's can eat the 20% better. Of the wedge. That's never going to change. There.
I'll just eat that.
Take that.
Yeah. Gone. Yeah. All right. See you next time, everybody.
Happy Halloween.